all of the uncertainty over the past couple of years, and the uncertainty that comes with new iterations of international tension and political division, KGNU has been a constant in your life and in our community. You've been able to count on a steady source of information, connection, and community, which always matters, but even more so now. What allows us to be here for you every day of the year? Our listener members. Join the KGNU listener member family and become a Solar member today with a monthly gift of $10 or $15 to keep us strong so we can keep you informed all day long. Make your gift at kgnu.org. Still stuck where you cannot grow, but you still didn't wanna come with me. I can't believe you let me go. I try to keep my tears at bay. Good evening and welcome to Outsources, a weekly KGNU program that provides you with content related to queer communities in Colorado. I'm your host, Elise Matatal, and this week I had the pleasure of speaking with the staff from Fortaleza Familiar about their intersectional and intergenerational programming for LGBTQIA, Two-Spirit Plus, Black, Indigenous, or other youth of color and their families. Before we get started, do you want to introduce yourselves? You can share name, pronouns, your role with Fortaleza Familiar.
Yes, Mimi, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Mimi Madrid. The pronouns that I use are she, they, and he. My family alternates between them, and I encourage our community to do so as well. I am one of the co-founders and the current executive director here at Fortaleza Familiar.
Yay, Mimi. As for me, I'm Val Ponce Najera, they, them pronouns, and in Spanish, no pronouns. And I am education and training coordinator over here at Fortaleza.
Yay, Val.
Thank you.
I love the love happening right now, hyping each other up. Before we dive into like some of the programs and stuff, can you share a little bit about how your organization started and what types of stuff you do?
Absolutely. So we actually started in the middle of the pandemic. We started at June 2020. A young person in our community, a parent, and myself got together and said, "There's a need within." LGBTQ community who identifies as Latinx, Chicane, Indigenous, young people of color need that support. But something that we noticed being in community here in Denver and Colorado is that a lot of mainstream organizations kind of separate LGBTQ issues and then issues around our culture, our families. And, you know, we decided we need an intergenerational space, one that embraces and makes sure that young people are safe during the pandemic and beyond. And then we also recognize the need for a space for our family members, for our relatives, for caretakers, for adults who are ready to start their work, to be part of dismantling homophobia and transphobia, and, you know, like really embracing their young people. They also need a safe space to kind of deconstruct that like colonial violence that has been taught to us. And we know there's power with our tías, our tíos, our grandmas, our grandpas. And we believe that we're here to bring our communities together. And so we started with virtual programming during the pandemic, and we are making our move into community in a physical space now, because we know that we need time to be together, to share food, to laugh, to create art, to, you know, sing. And that's where we're at right now. And we've had the great, great honor and pleasure to bring brilliant, brilliant queer, non-binary, and trans folks on our team. We're growing. And one of those people is Val Ponce Najera, that we just feel so incredibly blessed and honored to have on our team to support that intergenerational work that we're doing.
Thank you, Mimi. You are by far the best leader that I've ever worked with. So, like, right back at you, it is quite an honor to work with you. Yeah.
I love the love fest happening right now. Yes. This is great. And, you know, it does feel really different from nonprofit, sort of industrial complex, regular organizations. And I'm curious how you fight against that. I think I attended an event, Mimi, where you were presenting for Chinook Fund about the work you were doing. And I have this quote that I wrote down. I wish that I had prepped better, but it was around, like, we're not going to do the same old, like, nonprofit industrial complex burnout. We're not going to recreate that. And I'm just curious, like, it seems like you are doing it now just by, like, loving on the people that you are in community with. But I'm curious if you have any other ideas around how you're doing this.
I would love to talk on that. So the thing that you're seeing right now, we actually had a team meeting yesterday where we talked about our values, and one of them was radical appreciation. So Mimi's always saying how with the intersection of our identities, we are generally the people that are the least valued in a lot of other spaces. So it is very, like, one of our main goals to surpass that and to truly care and appreciate each other. And I personally have, like, a past horror story of, like, working in nonprofits and feeling, like, unappreciated and, like, I was not uplifted. And it has truly been a lifesaver for me to be able to work with Mimi in a way that truly embodies the principles that we're talking about. And it's not just like, oh, we're doing it for the grants, you know, but we truly are here to care and love for each other and to be in community. And so, yeah, we are just doing it by appreciating and caring for each other and, you know, establishing our community guidelines and stuff like that.
Yeah, thank you, Val. I think we all have, like, horrible stories, regardless of the industries that we're in, whether they're nonprofit, whether they're, you know, retail service industries, being LGBTQ, being brown, being non-binary, the level of, like, danger that we have to continuously, like, navigate within our workspaces so that we can continue to be at work, so that we could pay our bills, so that we could pay for, like, you know, affirming healthcare. Like, we always have to, like, put our personal values in line, or, like, in danger of, you know, keeping our jobs. And I think for, like, what Val said, for us, it's really important to understand that the work that we're doing is, like, a lot of emotional labor, and we will get triggered, right? We're working with young people, we're working with our elders, we're working with aunties and uncles and gunkles that look and sound like our own, right? And so a lot of that, like, childhood family trauma is going to come up. And so how do we take care of ourselves? How do we slow down? How do we build expansive, emotionally expansive and caring and nurturing spaces so that we can all arrive in a vulnerable and rested way so that we could do this work for a long time? Like, I want to make sure that when young people come here, they know that they can make a change in the world and that they don't have to do it today, right now, right? That they are going to get to do that until they're 80, 90, right? Like, they could envision a world where they're elders and they're still excited about being revolutionary and thinking about liberation and thinking about all the joyful, beautiful things that we get to contribute in our lives. And I think that's really important to make the policies and the procedures and the infrastructure of an organization to take care of ourselves.
I'm struck by pushing against sort of this urgency, knowing like what's happening on a national stage, like the sheer amount of violence, legislative violence that is happening to LGBTQ, especially young people in particular. And it seems like you all are like, we're in this fight for the long term. We're not going to like jump to and try to burn ourselves out. And that also, it seems like, I don't know how abolitionist frameworks resonate with you, but this idea too, if we don't really like dispose of people and we're all sort of in this together. And it seems like that is part of your intergenerational programming too, if you want to speak a little bit more to that.
Absolutely. I think it's this idea of like, yesterday during our meeting, Val and other folks talked about non-binary thinking. And for me, it's like, imagination, right? Like we have the space to be imaginative. We have the space to keep each other accountable in a radical, beautiful way, right? That we acknowledge that we're going to make mistakes. We acknowledge that we're not perfect. And that's like the major part of it, right? Is that when we do harm and we're ready to address it, that we can address it in a way that builds space and time and the container for people to transform, right? Like if we aren't doing that work, then we're not able to actually make that like cultural shift, that long-term change towards liberation, right? And it's even more powerful. We talked about like wounds and how like wounds, they need time and space to like heal over. If we're continuously digging at that wound, we're not allowing it the space to do what it needs to do to heal and become stronger. And so it's about practicing that vulnerability and in a safe way, right? Like we're not here talking about like, it's young people's jobs to teach and to like, you know, hold their parents accountable if it's not safe for them, and it's not something that they want to do. What we're talking about is making the space for each other. What are the containers? What are the spaces that we get to create that we can unravel, and then we can build ourselves back up, right? And I think for us, that's really important right now, especially all this legislation that's happening, has been happening for a long time. Like the same vitriol and violence that has been directed towards our communities of color, towards Black Indigenous people, especially towards, you know, trans folks, trans women of color. It's been there. It's just more amplified by the media. And so I like to focus on the resilience, and not just the resilience, but the fortitude that we already have, the ancestral knowledge of thriving, right? And we see it with each other. And the more time that we spend with each other in joyful spaces and visionary spaces and spaces where we just to get to be and eat and listen to good music, that is how we like fill our spirits back up. That's how we nurture each other. And that's how we actually practice those liberatory frameworks or those abolitionist frameworks, right? Like that's how we build relationships for the long term to continue to practice liberatory ways, right? It's not this destination that we're going to all arrive to. It's a, like a continuous cycle of culture shift.
Listener-supported KGNU is your window to what's going on in your community. Stay informed, become a member today with a gift of $10 or $15 per month. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Outsources on KGNU FM 88.5 Boulder, KGNU 1390 Denver. I'm your host, Elise Manitol, and I've been speaking with Mimi Madrid and Val Ponce Najera from Fortaleza Familiar.
Yeah, I'm curious. I think it's so radical to be able to like dream about the future and what the future looks like. So if both of you have thoughts or you want to indulge me a little bit in just like dreaming, like what does it look like if you are successful and this programming works and you have really shifted things?
I love that you're asking us that because I think part of our work a lot is this thing we do, envisioning. And so we've done this before. We do it like for our projects and we will sit down and we will share how we envision this working out. And we would like literally take a moment to meditate and picture it and see it like happening in our space. And that's actually part of our first class for Liberate Ourselves, our program for queer BIPOC youth. We have one section called My Liberating Space. And basically the principle is that we will never achieve anything that we're not first dreaming of, right? So it is really, truly important for us to start dreaming because a lot of the times we get disencouraged by things that are happening and we like fall into this loop of like, oh, no pessimistic thought. But, you know, we've been here for a long time. We've been fighting for a long time. We've been like achieving a lot of things as well, even with the recent setbacks. And so I think it's really important that we dream. And as for myself, I just envision like spaces filled with laughter, filled with loud people, you know, like just being able to be themselves and love each other and care for each other and have those conversations that might be scary and feel just to feel appreciated, uplifted, loved, and in community.
I think I would agree with that. What Val has said is, I think a lot about like the sounds of, you know, what does it sound like when we are successful? And so, you know, that sounds like laughter. That sounds like us being outside in nature, planting gardens, partnering with folks who align, who fully and truly believe in the power of young LGBTQ people on this earth, who believe in the power of like intergenerational healing and like learning, that, you know, folks are sitting down. It smells like tamales. It smells like sweet grass. It smells like medicines being burnt. It smells like just all those ancestral smells that belong with us and with our hearts that reconnect us. And it feels like, you know, like consensual hugs. It feels like our hands in the dirt. It feels like, you know, us writing on flip charts galore. Like, I just want to see flip charts all over. Mm-hmm. And then I think I also envision, you know, a group of 50 to 150 young people who are LGBTQ, who are, you know, queer, two-spirit, non-binary, who are ready to make change, right? However that may be for them, if they're all about lobbying, if they're all about, you know, protesting, if they're all about creating art, and having a whole dynamic network of young people who are ready to support other young people across the state who don't have the access or the opportunity to have other young people that look like them or other affirming adults who look like them. So that if there's young people in the corners of our state who are struggling with like super homophobic, transphobic situations, that we may be able to like go and support, right? And not to parachute, because, you know, Denver is known to parachute into communities. But how do we actually build that solidarity with each other across our communities and understand and respect that different communities exist in different ways? But I would love to see just a large network of young people and relatives and families, adults who know how to support young people and know how to take direction from young people about what they need. And because they're experts of their lives today, they're not the leaders of tomorrow. Our young people are leaders today. It's about how we're supporting them It's how we're making spaces for them in an authentic way for them to actually be respected as the leaders that they are.
I love that. And I'm thinking about a workshop I did many years ago that talked about like adultism and how it's like this area of, I think, social justice that sometimes people talk about, like following the leadership of youth, but it seems like you have really integrated this into your model. How do you think about that?
I think a lot of times it's just that relationship, right? That we understand that it's a two-way street, whether it's with young people or elders, that we have so much to learn from each other, right? It's, we can't get stuck in that generational way of thinking of like, when I was young, I think a lot about mental health, right? And how generationally it's been young people who have been pushing and pushing and pushing for us to acknowledge mental health within our families, within our communities, and for us to build a whole different way of existing and thriving, right? I think about the ways that, you know, even in nonprofit sectors, like it's all about productivity. You come in at 8, you sit in front of a computer, you have to deliver, you know, these performance indicators by this time. And what I've realized and what I've heard is that we have a whole different way that we can exist, right? We get to exist in the time space continuum in a more healthy, relaxed way that actually honors the gifts that everybody has, whether folks are neurodiverse or if folks have disabilities. How do we make the work that we do for each other expansive? And I think young people, every generation will forever push us to be better and better and better. And we just have to get out of the way. We have to listen. We have to, and because adults are the ones who are the policymakers, who are running the organizations, there needs to be those check and balances where we're able to actually integrate what young people are seeing and telling us.
I feel like this is almost a well-duh question, but I am thinking about, especially in nonprofits, like cultural competence. Listeners can't see my air quotations, but just like this emphasis on cultural competence, which is, we know, like, you can't, what does that even mean? But it seems like culturally affirming programming is like so important to what you are doing. And that it feels like a well duh, because it's just you all like doing your thing. But if you want to share a little bit about like what it means to be culturally rooted in this way.
I think a lot of what we are trying to do is precisely offer that intersection, as Mimi was saying before, between queerness and culture. And I think it's important because people do way better when they feel seen and uplifted in all parts of their identity. And as Mimi was saying, a lot of spaces that are like focused for queer people, they're generally not that culturally relevant to people like us. And so we really seek to bring forth that space where people feel uplifted in all aspects of their identity. Because truly, a lot of the times we feel like isolated from our communities, either the queer community or our communities of color, because of our identities. And that, you know, it cements this sort of like idea of isolation in some way, like, you know, I kind of belong, but I also kind of don't belong. And so where is the space for me? And I, that's why culture is so important to us, just because it highlights a lot of people's experiences and it like truly helps people feel uplifted and seen and, you know, in community and in places where you actually belong.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think I would add to that. We recently had a retreat. One of the programs that we're getting going right now is Fortaleza en Naturaleza. And our aim for that is to bring young people and the affirming, you know, adults in their lives to the outdoors, for us to be out there, to feel that connection with the earth. And we did an envisioning activity with our founding group, and that was, how do you envision what we're creating for yourself as a 10-year-old, right? And it was a moment that was just like a water, like it just opened, flood the floods of water of emotions, of like just being able to see ourselves in each other feels so powerful, right? It feels so affirming. And to think about, for a lot of us, when we were 10, we didn't see other trans and non-binary and two-spirit people, you know, like it, and to have an actual relationship and to like be cared for and like be outdoors with someone that looks like us as a 10-year-old is just a magical formative moment that we hope that we can provide for families. And I think it's this other thing about how queerness and looks different in so many ways, right? You know, folks like have said that there's as many genders and expressions as there are people, because we are all so unique and beautiful and magical. And so what I see there is that there might be a young person that really resonates with Val and their incredible goth style. Or there might be someone who really resonates with Nez, our other team member, who rocks that graphic t-shirt and like has long hair, right? And so the more that we're able to like express our full cultural experience, whether it's music or food, I think the more we're able to like build with our community and build with young people, right? Like we don't all experience our culture and the world in the same way. And I think that is a strength in what we're doing in the cultural relevancy or way, right? And there's so much there. There's like faith, spirituality, food, music, how we dress, how we speak. The more that we can reflect our entire community, I think the better.
I love that so much. I wish we had so much more time, but I want to give you time to share about the Liberate Youth program and how people can apply or get involved or support, even if they can't do it.
Yeah, let's do that. So our program is Liberate Ourselves. It's an intersectional space for queer BIPOC youth to feel seen, to feel celebrated, to feel uplifted. We will be learning about things like wellness and leadership through studying historical icons. For example, this first one, we are talking about the Third World Liberation Front, which was a group of BIPOC students. They were Asian, Indigenous, Black, and Latine, and they were fighting for the rights to a culturally relevant education. And so we are trying to inspire everyone to be the leaders that they already are. And so it's an 8-week program. We see all kinds of topics, from queer story to healthy relationships, you know, how to be in community, how to address harm, and all kinds of different things so that our youth might feel empowered to go out there and start being, or not start being, but, you know, continue being the leaders that they already are. As for the application, it is in our Instagram. It is Fortaleza Familiar Co. Or they can also go into our website, fortalezafamiliar.org, and find our emails there, and we'll send them the application. Mimi, I don't know if you have anything more to add about our fun program.
I would just say, if you are an adult, if you're inspired, if you're an ally, if you're a relative, please consider, you know, donating. You can find the donation link on our webpage, again, fortalezafamiliar.org. And I also invite you all to donate to this wonderful radio station.
Yes, please.
We need public radio, y'all. We need it.
Yes, so, we do.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Outsources on KGNU FM 88.5 Boulder, KGNU 1390 Denver. I'm Elise Matatal, and you just heard my conversation with Mimi Madrid and Val Ponce Najera from Fortaleza Familiar. For more information about Fortaleza Familiar and the application for their Liberate Ourselves Youth Program, you can visit news.kgnu.org and click on Outsources under the Shows and Features tab. Join us next week, Monday, at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of Outsources, providing you homegrown queer radio every week.